Perfect. I see Representative Schultz online and then Senator Jerry Stevenson as our third board member. So I do recognize a quorum with the three of us. I'm here at the Capitol today, and thank you for letting me conduct this meeting from Salt Lake. Welcome to today's board meeting from Milford, Utah. We're holding this meeting there to underscore the importance of the action that will be considered by our board today, the positive influence and impact that we believe will have on Beaver County. So super excited to talk more about that later in the agenda. Our agenda includes an executive director's report, presentation from the development of UAPA's statewide logistics strategy, a review of two board policies, an introduction of the Grantsville City and Tooele County project areas, and consideration for why we're in Beaver County, the Mineral Mountain Inland Port project area. We will have time for public comment. It will start around approximately 3 to 3:15. And for those of you in attendance, in order to speak during public comment, fill out one of the comment cards, give that to Diana. I'm sure she's waving her hand right now in the room. She will number those according to the order she receives, and then we will accept them until the start of the comment period. They will all be 2 minutes in length, and because of our agenda is packed for time, we will limit those to the amount that we have as per our agenda. As always, we invite you to comment at inlandportauthority.utah.gov. One of the things on our agenda, the second before we get into the approval of minutes and moving on, is the approval and swearing in of Bill Wyatt. I'm going to turn some time over to Executive Director Brent Hart to introduce Bill and get him sworn in.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you everyone for your attendance here today. We could not be more excited to be here in Beaver County. With that, we will go ahead and swear in our newest board member. We are ecstatic to have Bill Wyatt joining us here. And Carol Watson, if you want to come up and take care of that swearing in.
All right. Do I want to turn this
Yes.
Up? Hey, Bill, if you'll stand, please.
Yep.
Raise your left hand. I state your name.
I, Bill Wyatt.
Having been elected or appointed.
Having been elected or appointed.
To the office of.
To the office of.
Utah Inland. Yeah, try that again. Utah Inland Port Authority Board.
Utah Inland Port Authority Board.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bill, welcome aboard. We're so excited to have you. Sorry.
Thank you so much.
Sorry it took us a minute to get you sworn in a few months, but we've been talking about putting you on for a number of months and super excited that the time has come. And all of the insight that you will bring, certainly when we are discussing the Northwest Quadrant in the next year, in the collaboration and the proximity to the airport and everything that you do there for the airport authority. So welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
I want to recognize that Miles Hansen, our chair, is missing today. He had some conflicts on his schedule. And then also Ryan is at the One Utah Summit for the governor and holding actually his board meeting today at the same time. So we recognize both of them are missing. Senator Stevenson, Representative Schultz, I'm looking for approval of the minutes from September 12th. They're in the packets. And they are posted online in the public for the public.
Abby, I can go ahead and make that motion to approve the meetings from September 12th.
Thank you. Jerry, a second from you.
Yes, and I would second that.
Perfect. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. He's good. We're good. Well, minutes are approved. Ben, we're going to turn some time to you now to give us the executive director's report and everything that's been going on in the last month, which has been a tremendous amount.
Yes, it has indeed. So we are ecstatic to be able to report on the happenings over the last month, and not just the last month, but kind of progress over the last year and kind of the direction that we're going as well. We want to make sure, again, that we're being extremely transparent in terms of what we are doing and what we also intend to do, so that the public has a very clear understanding. Hopefully that's a little better. A very clear understanding of what it is that we intend to do. So I will go through a few slides. I'm going to talk just a little bit about project areas for just 1 second. I want to give a quick update, and this will constitute the majority of my executive director's report, which I'll keep brief. But I want to give a quick update on all of the different project areas that we're currently working on and kind of how they're moving forward. So let me first say that we have very clear objectives in every one of our project areas. The purpose of this report, the purpose of these project areas is really to provide not just economic opportunity, but also better logistics and transportation systems statewide. So as we look at this again, I'm going to say this a lot. People who hear me present regularly, I'm sorry because I know it's repetitive, but it's really important that we put everything in the right context. So first, when we adopt project area, one of the purposes and our most important purpose is that we develop and implement a logistics strategy that will serve the entire region with which it is created. So air and rail and truck logistics. That means we may do truck parking. We just spent the day in Cedar City where we got a chance to see the new BZI rail facility. There may be any number of different improvements in infrastructure and logistics that we can put in place for the shippers in this region, which is also one of our key actions. The other part is the economic side. What do we do to really empower an area? And when we're talking about the use of project area tax differential, we want to work with the local communities that have invited us in that we're partnering with, and we want to identify specific uses for that money. In line with our first purpose, we want to be able to create infrastructure that serves the logistics community. Is that for rail predominantly? Making sure that we're using it for business attraction. I think as we're here in Beaver County, we're talking about, can we bring in somebody that's willing to bring in 40, 50, 60 jobs or 100 jobs? It's a very unique experience here in Beaver County versus what we're doing in Salt Lake City, where they may be much bigger, larger, much more kind of cutting edge, innovative type users, advanced manufacturing users. And so it's going to look different in every community, but how do we help work hand in glove with the local community to create economic momentum and economic inertia and ensure that we're serving these communities, not just the current generation, but future generations, to try and keep kids and grandkids here working in these communities. We also, in certain circumstances, will help to pay for regional infrastructure. We will not offset the costs that are typical for developers. Developers are going to pay their own development costs. We may partner for regional type development, but not for typical costs. And I know we've heard a little bit about this, that, you know, we're subsidizing what developers typically do. That's not the case. And so we want, again, be able to create the infrastructure to attract good developers in, but not offset their costs specifically. The other thing that I would say is in other areas that are approved by the local community and by the board, so where we know we're working hand in glove with the local leadership, county commissioners, mayors, we'll work on special projects. One of those examples is before us today, which is the grant program that we've been working on in Salt Lake City. I hear a lot about, you know, we're going to create and have an opportunity to help reinvest, you know, fairly significant amounts of money into these project areas. As we do that, we are going to be doing so in a very disciplined way. It's not going to be, you know, we're out to subsidize the private sector. It really is, how do we make sure, and private land development, but how do we make sure that we're helping to achieve our critical missions around infrastructure for logistics, getting the right businesses into the community, and then helping generally with other types of infrastructure and special costs that may arise. We're also going to be working with the region's shipping industry. So how do we work with those businesses that have an opportunity to create job, to create volume, to put on rail, to help take trucks off the road, make better use of the rail that we already have that's existing. So all of these things are key. Let me just give the board and the public a very quick breakdown of where we're at and kind of how we see things coming together. In the Northwest Quadrant, currently we've had enough resolutions. I'm okay talking about this in public. We're interested in ensuring that the 7200 West landfill site is remediated in short order. And so we're working with the current ownership group to make that happen. We're also working with CPCS. They are going to be looking at a full-scale logistics strategy. For those who are saying that we are building a port in the Northwest Quadrant, we are not, we do not have plans to build a port currently in the Northwest Quadrant. If we can introduce competition into our Class 1 service and create a port in a way that will help bring competition, that's probably a really justifiable reason to build a port. If that doesn't line up, we have to make sure that there's a good use case, and we're not going to move forward with a major port project until we have a really good strategy in place. It's been vetted through the public, and we've had an opportunity to make sure that there is a business case for that effort. Also, in terms of leased property, I know I've heard a little bit about this, and I just want to make sure that everyone is clear here in terms of any leased property that the port has had. I've made these comments. I'm going to make them a little bit more straightforward and perhaps with a little bit of clarification. The port does have two properties that are under lease currently. One of those properties is tied to, and back to the landfill remediation for one second, let me just say, when you're talking about something that will be several hundred millions of dollars, it's hard to do a lot of planning for everything else until you get that big piece to fall in place. It's similar on one of our leased properties. One of our top priorities is to deconflict Poplar Grove. We don't want to, that may sound like a very foreign phrase here in Beaver County, but for those in the west side of Salt Lake City, they know exactly what that means. How do we make sure we're taking trains off the road there or off the trail to allow for better traffic flow through that neighborhood? And so we've been working, I really want to commend the current group that is most impacted, Patriot Rail. Everyone is looking for solutions. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. But I will say, with regards to one of our leased properties, we're not going to lease that property until we're sure that we can deconflict Poplar Grove and any uses in that property cannot harm that effort. So we have passed up on these opportunities for one of our properties to ensure that we can deconflict Poplar Grove. We've also passed on an existing truck parking potential because those two missions were not able to work together. I want to make sure that people are clear. We're not wasting taxpayer dollars. We want to make sure that we're able to serve a public purpose in terms of helping to deconflict Poplar Grove. And until we're sure that we're able to do that, we're not going to move forward with uses that don't make sense. If we can find uses that make sense, then perfect. But until that time, we're going to be very strategic. We'll hear a little bit more about the logistics strategy today, so I'll let CPCS speak to that. In Iron Springs, we've seen the first rail deliveries, and I want to commend Danny Stewart for his amazing work on this project, helping to put all this together. I was able to speak with the CEO, James Bardo, of BZI. He told me for every one carload, train load, I hope I'm not divulging anything that's proprietary, but for every one carload that comes in, it takes about four trucks off the road coming from the Northwest Quadrant. They also will ship trucks through Phoenix area as well. But so for every load that's coming through, literally we're taking four trucks off the road. That's exactly what we're trying to do with this infrastructure, is empower the local economy and help create a better transportation setting, system here in Utah. We're seeing that. We also want to work with BZI. Danny's our man on the street down there in terms of ensuring that we're getting the best businesses that we can, working with the Iron County communities. We're also working on continued infrastructure. Spanish Fork, I'll go through these next just a little bit more quickly, but we're working with Spanish Fork on recruitment opportunities. We're also working with them on public financial support for regional infrastructure. Box Elder, we're currently working on it, in addition to the recruitment that we announced at our prior board meeting. We've got a few other recruitment opportunities we're looking at up there, also with some logistics planning. We feel like it's going very well. With JUAB and the Six County project, that is in its infrastructure planning phase right now. So we'll continue to work with those folks on infrastructure, trying to find the right revenue sources and get projects to go verticals and start to develop tax differential. Beaver County will be up for adoption today. We'll be working with Beaver County. I'm not going to go into that because we'll go into that in the project area plan and budget. Next month, we're anticipating we will be in Tooele County, and following that, we will be in Weaver County. So That's kind of our schedule for the near future. There have been some concerns I've heard from, you know, different places that do we have the organization to support this? Absolutely, we have the organization to support this. We're doing quite well. It's a lot of work. We understand that reaching out with these types of project areas can be a lot of work. I also want to commend our board because they're doing a lot of work getting across the state of Utah as well. But we're coming to a point where we feel like we're not going to be doing as many of these project areas in the future as what we have done in the past. But in future meetings, I'll probably still give updates on these different project areas so that the public is aware of them. I will say in terms of where a lot of our time is spent, we do spend a lot of time in the Northwest Quadrant. There's a lot of efforts that are going on there. Hopefully some of those will be able to speak about more publicly over the next couple of months. In front of the board today as well, I'm going to switch topics just briefly. In front of the board, there will be an opportunity to extend our contract with Broadway Consulting. Just as a quick awareness, Broadway Consulting, that is the fantastic Alan Evans. He has been a great individual helping our team. We did agree with the board when we adopted this contract last year that if we wanted to extend the agreement, that we would bring it back for board consideration. And so that will be in front of the board as an item today. We won't cover that in terms of explaining because I feel like that's already been covered. And if there are questions, we're happy to take them from the board. The last item I'll cover in my executive director's report, again, there will be an item at the end of the meeting that will allow the board to vote. This is our community grants as determined by our interlocal agreement with Salt Lake City. I just want to say a huge thank you to Salt Lake City and their team. There have been a lot of reviewers out there, a lot of people that were involved in the Northwest Quadrant Review Committee. The two from our team, and for those who aren't aware, as part of our interlocal agreement, we made about $1.29 million available as part of the community impact category of the interlocal agreement. There were 58 applications that were submitted. The reviewers included Mona Smith, Stephen Smith, from our team, no relation, Holly Lopez, Joshua Ravello, Jack Ray, Loreno Riffo Jensen, Sophia Nicholas, and Lexi Tudenham. I'm trying to read on a screen. It's got a really bright light on it, so I apologize. But they reviewed all of the different applications, and ultimately they scored those applications. I'm going to show these here for the public. Yes, I know they're really small and you cannot read them. I'm sorry. We will make our board members got access to this list last week. And so this is how they were ranked. We will again make this available to the public as part of my presentation, just so they can see how these applications racked and stacked. And the reviewers, these different reviewers, we've just taken their scores, put them together, and ultimately that's exactly how we came up with these. If the board wants to accept the reviewers' viewers' findings, they will have a chance to do so. If the board would like to make any changes or amendments to this list and what will receive funding, otherwise we will just go down and according to what was requested, we will just award those amounts unless the board tells us differently. So you have two options, either accept the review committee's recommendations or you can make changes. You have that prerogative as the board to make any changes as you see fit. So that item will come up as part of our action item. I'm going to end on this one. We had a chance to help arrange a tour for Governor Cox to come out and see the Rudy Duck Club. Jack Ray was our host. I'll say this once, and I've probably said it a whole lot of times, but the wetlands around the Great Salt Lake are one of our most unique assets here in the state of Utah. We'll cover this a little bit during our wetlands policy presentation. But we feel strongly that protecting and making sure that these wetlands are around not only for our generation, but are around for future generations is absolutely critical. The Inland Port will never support or initiate anything that any action that would harm any of these wetlands. Let me just make that perfectly clear. On the contrary, we actually want to be a help and to aid in the protection and investment into these wetlands long term. So we'll get into that a little bit more throughout the course of the meeting, but I'll just end by saying this was a great afternoon. I know we've had several board members who've seen this, but you can be a mile away from these wetlands and never know that they exist. And once you get out, I mean, it changes your perspective in terms of what we need to do to protect them because they really are amazing natural features around the Great Salt Lake. So We'll get into that a little bit more later, but Madam Chair, that is the Executive Director's report.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. We're going to jump right into the agenda right now. Donald Lalo, he's the Vice President of CPCS. He's online with us. There you are, Jared. You're on my screen now. Just give us an update on the board's development logistics strategy.
Okay, great. Thank you. I hope everybody can hear me okay. And can you see the screen all right?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Let me actually put this in slideshow view. There we go. Okay, great. So I'm really excited to be here today. I'm part of a team that is leading the development of a logistics strategy for UIPA, and I'm going to walk you through the major components of that effort to give the board a preview. We will be doing some additional reporting to the board through the course of this engagement. So first, the team that's developing this is CPCS. I'm the vice president of CPCS in the U.S. We're an infrastructure strategy consulting firm and have significant experience developing business case, looking at market and trade lanes, looking at trends, understanding how those cross-cutting issues, including environment and freight and livability matter. We bring a lot of subject matter expertise across the modes and spectrum, and we will be the lead firm partnering closely with WSP, which is a global infrastructure advisory firm with strong Utah roots. I believe some of my, at least one of my colleagues from WSP is in the room in Milford today. They'll be bringing us expertise on physical infrastructure development, engineering and costing, and a lot of additional subject matter expertise in global trade, rail, and aviation, among other issues. Also, a lot of deep history on the whole team with rural issues and rural transport and economic development nationwide. So what will we be doing? The main aims of the logistics strategy, the overarching aim, is to really complement and build upon work that UIPA has already done, already accomplished to date, by identifying infrastructure investments and partnerships. And those investments and partnerships are aimed at advancing logistics across the jurisdictional area and the state, balancing Utah's logistics system and services with improved connections, resource stewardship, and multimodal options for shippers, which Ben commented on earlier, having additional options on the table to drive competitiveness, encouraging investment in manufacturing, technology, and value-added industries, catalyzing the Utah entrepreneurship, the Utah business creation spirit of homegrown Utah businesses, as well as business expansion within a cost-competitive logistics system, and supporting anchoring regional and local economic development. So it's an ambitious set of strategies and aims that we are partnering with UIPA and many stakeholders to advance and move forward. The approximate time frame of this engagement is about a year. We are already well into the first, almost kind of second month here. Official contracting date was in August. We're providing our first update to the board. We have a number of other touch points and milestones along the way, including some engagement town halls that are scheduled or will be scheduled soon. I'll walk you through some of the major phases over the next few slides. The first major phase is ongoing. Obviously, there's internal collaboration with UIPA and the team, but there's also a lot of stakeholder collaboration, working with key stakeholders in the logistics space, regional and local economic development and community stakeholders, leveraging the team and UIPA's connections and networks and statewide project area and UIPA jurisdictional area focus. A lot of this work is one-on-one discussions. It's the hard and high reward work of sitting down and having discussions about new opportunities and issues related to the statewide logistics system. There's also some community engagement, which we will be engaging in. We're working with UIPA to plan out some town hall opportunities to be able to work with and present some of the opportunities and challenges and discuss those issues with the community. Associated specifically with the logistics strategy. We will be providing a number of board updates, usually every month, every couple months, through the course of the project, and look forward to interacting with the board as well. Phase one is commodity flows, and this is a fundamental activity where the team will be assembling the latest data to be able to give a kind of a comprehensive snapshot of current and future forecasted flows by mode, truck, rail, air throughout the state. We're aiming to do this at the county level to provide some detail for local partners and for UIPA to carry forth in efforts in the future to enhance the intelligence and decision-making of the activities that UIPA is engaged in. This will really, we think, help inform policy investment questions statewide. I have a snapshot of some of the early work. This is a map of the state. The map shows areas where there is a lot of concentration of daily truck trips that are generated. For clarity, this is truck trips that are beginning and ending entirely in Utah. And a little fast fact here is that from this early estimate, we believe that about 21% of the daily truck trips within Utah start or end within the UIPA jurisdictional area in Northwest Salt Lake County. It is really an incredible and important national freight center, is certainly Western and regional freight center, but you can see the distribution of many of the important freight activity centers statewide where those trucks are beginning or ending their trips. So we'll be providing additional snapshots and information that allows local and state policy and decisions to be enhanced with good information. Another important piece of this is really looking at the current state of logistics statewide in Utah, building on current plans and efforts that have been undertaken by partners and by state agencies, looking at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the system, gaps and opportunities for improvement, working with adjacent regions on leveraging greater scale, opening up new trade opportunities for Utah, creating more modal opportunities, including in the air and rail space, and then consulting with those asset owners of the fleets, of the facilities to validate findings and working on recommendations to move forward. The map on this page is another early snapshot of this. This is data on employment in transportation, warehousing and industry, the transportation and warehousing industry, locations, showing those clusters and concentrations across the state, including a number of important concentrations in rural parts of Utah. So we look forward to providing more of this on that current snapshot of logistics. So the next phase is strategies to strengthen logistics. And this is really where we pivot from the data and from all the work with the stakeholders, working with UIPA to identify not only the current and emerging trends that are impacting things, but to develop specific strategies for the state and for project areas, Northwest Quadrant included. We've named a few here, to be able to advance the identification of the investments in infrastructure, in logistics services, and in the other market drivers that really need to be in place to support future activity and logistics success. And then we'll be documenting all of this in some final reports. And then there will be an implementation phase really that UIPA carries forward with its partners to act in advance on this. So in a nutshell, I know I've gone fairly quickly, that is the broad overview. And again, we look forward to updating the board and working with stakeholders as we move forward. Ben or Chairman Osborne, I turn it back to you.
Donald, thank you. This was super informative. We all knew generally what the work that you were doing, but this is incredibly helpful. And I, for one, look forward to seeing all six of the project areas, you know, and the breakdown of the reports moving forward. But great work. And I'd take any questions from the board if anyone has one or this time. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Amy, Mona, give us a little presentation on the infrastructure bank policy and the wetlands policy that Ben previewed a little bit in his executive director's report.
Great. My name is Amy Brown-Kopp, and I'll start with the authority infrastructure bank and then a policy, and then I'll turn it over to my colleague Mona Smith to discuss the introduction of the wetlands policy. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, either in person or online, our process is for board policies to present within two meetings as we do any updates or introductions. So we have presented amendments to our authority infrastructure bank policy in our last board meeting. And so we will be presenting this these updates for board approval in this meeting today. The impetus behind these changes are we received some feedback from the State Finance Review Commission that included a review of the state revolving loan funds. And they asked us to do some enhancements with information around the introduction funding process, loan structure and security policy, and program accountability. And so based on this feedback, we have added enhanced information around roles and responsibilities, included links to statutory requirements, and then we added specific sections to really meet these specific asks. We did send this over to the State Finance Review Commission and said, hey, these are updates. I've asked if they had any final feedback, and they did not provide any additional requests. So we will put this up for board approval at some point in the agenda. I will pause in case the board has any questions at this time.
Any questions, board members? All right, next one, Amy.
Great. I will turn the time now over to Mona to introduce the wetlands policy, which is up for its first review and will be seeking approval in the next board meeting.
Everyone, you'll be okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to provide a high-level summary of the wetlands board policy that we are presenting today. In this policy, for informational purposes, we have summarized federal regulatory requirements for wetland mitigation through Section 404 of the Clean Water Act, as well as the Food Security Act of 1985. Additionally, for informational purposes, we've summarized statewide Utah programs, procedures, and initiatives related to wetland mitigation, wetland management, and wetland assessment throughout the state of Utah. And finally, this procedure proposes how the Utah Inland Port Authority can go above and beyond these federal regulatory requirements to foster wetland mitigation within its project areas. And to do so, the policy proposes that landowners within UIPA project areas with wetlands present on their properties may be eligible for incentives. It also proposes a requirement that for project areas outside of the Northwest Quadrant area with wetlands present, the 1% of the tax differential for those project areas go towards wetland mitigation approved by the UIPA. And then for the Northwest Quadrant area, it proposes that funds allocated for mitigation in the interlocal agreement between Salt Lake City and the UIPA can be used for wetland mitigation projects in the Northwest Quadrant area. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Madam Chair, would you?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. Let me just say that we're aware that rail, good, bad, or indifferent, in a lot of places just goes through wetlands. It's probably not the case here in Beaver County. We can say that with some ease. There might be some here and there, but particularly around the Great Salt Lake and around Utah Lake, there is a reality that there's a lot of intermixing between these two elements, the wetlands and the rail. We want to be good stewards wherever we're at. We want to make sure that it's not just about protecting, but because we know, for those who may not know, the zoning dictates what can happen on a property. We do not. So the local community, through entitlements, permitting, zoning, all of their land use regulatory features, they dictate what happens on a site. The Inland Port does not. Our hope, again, back to what I said at the beginning, is how do we optimize that? But because we don't control the zoning, we can't dictate what happens on these sites. We can try and help guide it and steer it, but that is left to the local municipality, the local communities, the local counties, which is exactly the way that it should be. So we feel like, because that's the case, it's appropriate where we have direct interface between project areas and wetland preserves, or I think Mona's done a good job outlining exactly the definitions, and the policy does a good job explaining what that is, but that we have some stewardship in being able to actually put funding towards these efforts. In prior project area plan and budgets, we created a lane whereby, with cooperation from the local jurisdictions, there is an opportunity for the creation of funding for that effort to help protect natural sensitive areas. In this case, in this policy, we're actually taking that to another level, and we're saying in project areas where there is adjacency, it's probably not the case here in Beaver County, it might not be in Iron County, but it is in a lot of our other project areas, that at least 1% is dedicated to going back to wetland preservation and other types of efforts to protect the lake and the wetlands that surround the lake. It has been said that when we come into an area, you know, we have a negative impact. That's not correct, because the zoning is already in place. But not only will we, and I believe we had a neutral in terms of impact on the wetlands before, not only will we just have a neutral impact, now we're saying we are going to have a positive impact. So those communities that are choosing to enact a project area and are working with us, we will now have the ability to actually create funding sources and revenues to go back to this effort and this cause. In some cases, the board, we have heard, and I've heard a little bit of dynamic in terms of, we set it at 1% right now. We have heard that it may be better for us, and we had previously chosen a cap. We've taken that cap out, a monetary cap. We've heard from some board members who have said, maybe we say 1% or as is appropriate as determined by the board in a project area plan and budget. So it might be 1 or 2% or something like that. But I also want to clarify, we're not dictating what will happen in the Northwest Quadrant, because we have a partner in that in an interlocal agreement with Salt Lake City. So we're putting forward recommendations and some categories that would authorize use for that. But that's something we want to continue to work with our local partner, Salt Lake City, on. But we feel like this is policy that helps us get to the right place. We are primarily focused on economic development, community empowerment, but we are also focused on protecting the natural area around us. And so we just want to make sure that that's clear, that our role in protecting and helping these wetlands is in our policy, in board policy. And so, Mons, that's very, that is our recommendation. And we're not looking for adoption of this policy today, but this is kind of the policy that we want to put out there for public review.
Ben, appreciate that. Mona, I've heard from many in the community in the environmental space, and certainly some of our lawmakers that work in this space, how much you've engaged with them. So really appreciate that. And over the course of the next few weeks before next month's board meeting, look forward to public comment on this proposed policy as well. Victoria, you're online. Have your hand raised. So I'll turn a minute over to you for a comment.
Hey, I just appreciate this policy so much and wanted to give us a chance to reiterate and amplify. This represents a baseline guaranteed continuous investment in our commitment to maintaining wetlands. It is not necessarily a ceiling. For instance, through an interlocal or a special case, we could negotiate use of increment for something if required, correct? This is just a baseline commitment in an ongoing fashion. Is that what I'm hearing accurately?
Victoria, I think you said that very well. Yes, yes, you're correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments from the board members on this policy? And obviously we're not adopting today, but.
I think Senator Stevenson had a comment.
Senator, all yours.
I would like to just take a second, if I could, and comment on policy in general. You know, the state of Utah has 22 land use authorities, which may surprise a lot. But we have three really large ones, of which the Inland Port is one of them. And those are certainly subject, as we move through, and as these grow and move to the point we want them to, which is that they are totally self-sustaining. One of those authorities has moved to that position where they are self-sustaining. The others are in a little more building stage. So my comment would be is that we do enact legislation on occasion to move, it's really not on occasion, it's annual, until we get these perfected. Any large piece of legislation that we tackle at the legislature is added and taken away from on an annual basis. It isn't, and most of what we do at the legislature isn't to put together, you know, 1,200 new laws a year and act on half of those. It's to build, it's to undo and redo to where they fit more of the times that are going on and what's taking place. So we're excited about the Inland Port Authority. I've been involved in that since its conception. And we have, Representative Schultz and I have worked on this last iteration that's got us where we are now. We've got community support, pretty much across the board. There are still a few folks that are questioning, the Inland Port idea. But if we don't do this, Ben mentioned earlier, one rail car into Cedar City is four trucks off the road. If we can take this where we want to, we can take 600 rail cars off the road at a time, which would be 2,400 trucks. By loading a train directly in California off a port, rather than putting them on individual trucks, we would put them on a train and they would come here to be unloaded, or the train broken and distributed to the inland ports like we're trying to create today. So, there's the conception of what we're doing and the perception of it is kind of an ongoing thing, and it may take several years to get the legislation perfect, but I can promise you, at least as long as I'm involved, we'll work really hard at making sure we do that. And these are what we're seeing a lot of really good progress in doing right now. So thank you very much for allowing me a few minutes.
Thanks, Senator. Appreciate it. Before we move on to Scott to talk about the Grantsville and Twillet, if you do have any cards to make public comment here in the next few minutes, please get those to Diana because she is accumulating those, and we will close that fairly soon. Scott Wilford, if you want to take some time, talk about the project area in Grantsville and Twillet, and introduce your guests from that area. Look forward to hearing about this new project area.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Vice Chair Osborne, honorable members of the board. My name is William Scott Wilford. I'm the Vice President of the Business Development Team, and it is a pleasure to be here in Milford City, lovely Weber County, and to present a draft project area plan and budget, plan and budgets for what we hope will be our next two project areas for Twillet Valley and Grantsville City. You'll find the project area plan and budget drafts are included in your board meeting materials. These documents were also included in the materials sent in advance of the meeting and are posted on the public meeting notice site and on the UIP website. The drafts include detailed information regarding the logistic, economic, and environmental considerations of each project area. Collectively, both of these represent a region of economic significance in Twillet County, supporting and driving advancement and efficiencies in the logistical needs of the region, as well as promoting responsible growth and prosperity to the benefit of all of our state. In addition to our current and planned project areas, These two additional added critical pieces to the puzzle in meeting Utah Inland Port Authority's statutory mission to support and maximize long-term economic benefits for the state of Utah. Slide. Thank you. By statute, the Inland Port project areas must meet the following criteria. One, the need to effectuate public purpose. Two, that there be a public benefit to the development project. Three, that they be economically sound. And four, that they promote the statutory goals and objectives of the Inland Port Authority. Additionally, each participating governmental body must invite the Port Authority to create a project area. Both Grantsville City and the Tooele County Council have passed resolutions supporting creation for their respective areas. With me today will be Councilman Jared Hamner from the Tooele County Council, and also Grantsville City Manager Jesse Wilson. They'll talk to us about how these project areas will benefit their specific areas. Councilman Hamner.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, Chairwoman, Board, Scott, and Ben. And I particularly want to compliment you on your protection of the wetlands, the Great Salt Lake. We have several businesses. They are directly affected by the health of that lake. And so I appreciate you taking that into consideration. As we looked at this opportunity that we have here, or that you're presenting to us, one of the things that we look at is in our own area, 88.4% of Tooele County is owned by the federal government. Now, I don't know if that surprises anybody, but back east, it really surprises people to have that much land owned by the federal government. The second part is we know that 72.8% of the adult working society in Tooele County goes to Salt Lake County or other counties outside of Tooele County for employment. We would like to retain that here. Each year, the mental health industry, and there's a wide portion that will promote eating dinner at home as a family. You have that throughout the school districts. You have that all throughout the mental health industry. One of the things that we have found in Tooele County is when they work outside of their home, especially in other counties that distance, it is difficult for that working adults to be able to come back home and eat dinner with their families. That's another portion that we take in consideration, is if we can have the economic development, the jobs that it would create here, we would have those families be closer where they can go to ball games, coach their kids, but yet be able to earn a livable wage to raise their family on. So we're excited as a council. We're excited to see what it how it comes, and we're excited to host you in your next meeting in Tooele County. You may not want to leave, but we'd love to have you here and see how it goes. So thank you for this opportunity. We are in favor. We want to move forward. We want to have an opportunity for our, as we continue to grow, have the economic development to support our working adults.
Thanks, Commissioner. Appreciate it. Did we have anyone else that's going to speak on this project?
This is Jesse Wilson, the city manager with Grantsville City. Appreciate the opportunity to be here before you today and the board. So thank you. I'd just like to echo Councilman Hainer's information. That is one of the biggest things that we do struggle with in Tooele County. We are excited about the possibility of Inland Port coming to Tooele County, especially to Grantsville. We do have a great project area that we believe that is already in place. We do have an RDA there, but we feel like with the power of the Inland Port, that will just help us draw more businesses in. We have looked at some of the potential that we could capitalize on. We do feel like there is a possibility of a $650 million capital investment that could happen with our project area, which would potentially bring about $100 million in tax revenue to our entities there. So we are excited about that. We do realize the limitations that our RDA does have and know that the Inland Port can help us with some of that. We do feel like that we have lost some business to the Inland Port as well. We did have a business that was potentially coming, and we weren't able to offer some incentives that the Inland Port was, and so we want to capitalize on that and use that as well. But we are excited as a city and as the council there. We're excited about this possibility as well. So thank you for your time.
It does make for an awkward conversation here. Will you just incentivize the business away from, but we'll get the next one. Speaking of industries of focus recruitment, both project areas have identified light industrial, manufacturing, distribution, and data centers for industries that they may want to ascend. And both of them promote the following objectives of Utah Inland Port Authority. I'm waiting for alphabet suite. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, N, O, Q, and R. I want to thank our speakers for coming, and we will be happy to answer any questions. Again, this is just informational. We don't anticipate board action until the next board meeting, but we will be happy to address any questions or concerns.
Jerry, I saw your hand up.
Let me just, I'm going to make a comment. This will probably change the direction of this meeting. It'll be a little too much. The last time I was in Laurel County to promote a project, there was a little deal called Utah State Prison. We were not accepted well. So when we come back next month, I want everyone to know I'm much older and much wiser than the one then. And we have and it's an entirely different project. Very interesting, relocating the prison. I think we got it in the right spot. And I do believe that Rensville and Tooele County helped us get it there because they were one of the top three sites, but, it was definitely, clear to those of us who were there that, that was not something they wanted in their community. So, but, anyway, I'll be back and I will be very humble, I promise.
Thanks, Senator. Appreciate it. Jared, it looks like you had a comment. Did you have anything to say?
No, I just wanted to say he's going to have a better welcoming. I'll lay out the carpet for you, Senator.
Thank you.
Good deal. Scott, anything else from you?
No, ma'am, unless there are any questions for me.
Anyone else have any questions or comment?
Madam Chair, can I just add a little bit of context to this as well?
Of course. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, I should wait for your approval before I started. Let me just say quickly first, thank you to Scott. Hey, Scott does an amazing job. Lynn, Stephen, Danny, thank you for all of your work getting these project area plan budgets. No two of them are the same. Scott is famous for saying if you've seen one project area, you've seen one project area. Every one of them is unique, and that means that they all have to be done in their own way. And it takes a lot of work. So thank you to the team. They do an amazing job. Let me answer the one question that has been out there. We are doing administratively and actually even structurally two separate project areas. I've gotten a few questions on that as to why we did that. And let me explain that. When I first mentioned that we would be doing the project area in Tooele, this was several months ago at the time that the city or county council had passed the resolution. I promised that we were going to be very methodical in our approach and that we were going to ensure that we had a chance to hear thoughts on this specific site that we were discussing. I felt, and this was my decision, and so if the board wants to scold me, I'll take that scolding. I felt like it was disingenuous to then merge two areas together in a single project area. I think there's been much that's been talked about and a few that have tried to explain away why that happened. Those reasons are not accurate. I've heard all sorts of different reasons. I'll just say administratively, this was my decision. I felt like we had told the public that we would consider this site differently. I said that we would handle Tooele County and the project areas in Tooele County differently because we won't do this anywhere else ever again. It's been a ton of work trying to do two project areas. But I do want to acknowledge we have made, and I have made some commitments publicly that we would consider this site of its own justification and for its own reasoning. And so we decided that we would actually create structurally two separate project areas. So if the board does have that question, the public has that question, that is why. Any other reason that you may hear is not accurate. So,
and I would add, Madam Chair, the administrator staff, we are fully supportive of that decision.
Wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate it. Scott, thanks for you and your team's work on this. Look forward to it. Is long. I just looked at the documents and it's over 80 pages long. So great work on the pre-work. And we'll take some time over the next month as board members to understand the two project areas there in Tooele County and Grantsville City.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, moving on. Danny, let's hear from you about why you were all there today in Beaver County. I drove through it twice yesterday on my way to and from Cedar City, but couldn't make it back down there again today. But the Mineral Mountains Inland Port Project area, we heard about this last month, here to have discussions and hopefully approval for this, our newest Inland Port Project area. But Danny, let's turn over some time to you and hear from our local elected officials and some business leaders from down there in Beaver County.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, board members. We're excited. My name is Danny Stewart. I'm Associate Vice President with the Utah Inland Port Authority. We're excited today to present the second review of the plan, project area plan and budget for the Mineral Mountains Inland Port Project Area. The project area plan and budget included in your board meeting materials. This document was also included in the materials sent in advance of the meeting. It was also posted on the public meeting notice website and the Port Authority website, inlandportauthority.utah.gov. The project area plan and budget includes detailed information regarding the logistical, economic, and environmental considerations of the project area. As an overview, the Mineral Mountains Inland Port will include multiple non-contiguous, regionally vital areas of Beaver County. Collectively, these areas will represent a region of economic significance in Southwest Utah, supporting and driving advancement and efficiencies in the logistical capabilities of the region, as well as promoting responsible economic growth and prosperity. In addition to UIPA's current and planned project areas, the Mineral Mountains Inland Port adds a critical piece to the puzzle in meeting the Inland Port Authority's statutory mission to support and maximize long-term economic development opportunities and benefits in the state of Utah. By statute, Port Authority project areas must meet the following criteria: the need to effectuate a public purpose, the public benefit to the proposed development project. It must be economically sound and feasible to adopt and carry out the project area plan, and carrying out the project area plan promotes the statutory goals and objectives of Utah Code 1158-203. Additionally, each participating governmental body must invite the Utah Inland Port Authority through resolution to create a project area. The Beaver County Commission passed a resolution requesting the creation of this project area on April 18th, 2023. Milford City passed their resolution on May 16th, 2023, and Beaver City passed theirs on August 29th, 2023. Each of these resolutions can be found in the draft plan and budget under Appendix C. Presenting with me today to speak about public purpose and benefit from the Mineral Mountains Inland Port will be Beaver County Commissioner Tammy Pearson. Following Commissioner Pearson, we will hear from Jen Wakeland, Beaver County Strategic Development Director, and from Milford City Mayor Nolan Davis, who will address regional assets and industries of focus for the project area. Commissioner Pearson.
I apologize for flying in here in a cloud of dice, but, you know, it's always good to make an appearance, I guess. My name's Tammy Pearson. I've been a commissioner here for 9 years. In the history of Beaver County, you know, we struggle. We do great. We struggle, whatever, but our roots run deep and we are determined to raise our families here. And as most of you know, and I've heard from most of the rural commissioners, our most precious resource is our kids, and we're usually exporting the opportunity to participate with the Inland Port Authority is an opportunity to import our kids back and bring our families back. Growing up, it's always been taught to me, and I've seen it firsthand. I've lived here for 40 years in Beaver County, Minersville specific, but if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think that we have chosen to be very, proactive and inviting industry into our county. We have to be careful who we invite. We don't have a lot of water and those kind of resources. We don't have a lot of housing. So the opportunity to work with Inland Port has been a really exciting, object for us to work towards, an end goal for us to work towards. We actually had some sort of an Inland Port here years ago with previous commissioners, and exporting goods to China on the rails. So the infrastructure is here. The need is here. The support is here. People are excited about this. So we welcome you here, and thanks for showing up in Beaver County.
Thank you, Commissioner. Again, my name is Jen Wakeland, Strategic Development Director for Beaver County. Located in a very rural region of the state, Beaver County holds unique assets as a logistically connected hub situated at the halfway point between Salt Lake City, Utah and Las Vegas, Nevada. We are the crossroads for interstate and highway systems, as well as two municipal airports, of which one has cargo capacity. All of these logistical resources are relatively new in comparison to the rail lines that have been in our county since the late 1800s. Each of these assets connect Beaver County nationally, as well as globally positioning our county to connect with emerging industry while maintaining the quality of life and culture we have developed over decades of boom and bust economic growth, as we have heard from Commissioner Pearson. This plan represents several zones within our county that are connected to a Union Pacific crew change location, with a nexus to Interstate 15 and 70 and Highway 21. In addition to these roads, there exist rails with several spurs and a loop track, the quality of which is unparalleled in our region. Like many other port project areas, we have our sights set on the future of ports, as this project represents a relationship with the Utah Inland Port Authority for the next 25 years. Two municipal airports anchor the easternmost and westernmost zones. Designed in the 1950s for cargo capacity flights, Milford's Municipal Airport isn't yet built to that specification, but has in hand the plans to execute the expansion. This will allow for rail, truck, and air continuity to be a realized asset over the duration of the Inland Port project. I'll turn some time over to Mayor Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. There's not a lot I can say that hasn't been said already, except that I'm really excited about what's taking place. You know, for years I've been involved with city politics, and for years we've tried to bring industry in to try to maintain our viability here in Milford. The railroad at one time, when I worked for them, we was up to, not counting the section, signal maintainers, that we had about 160 employees right here in Milford, Utah. Right now we have about 40 in Milford, Utah with the railroad. We need to bring something back, you know, so that we can, like Commissioner Pearson said, keep our big staff set here, our children. And years ago, as I was watching the news and they started talking about this Inland Port, I thought, what is the Inland Port? So the more research I'd done, the more conversations I had, I thought, why can't we have many Inland Ports throughout the state of Utah, especially rural Utah? For some reason, we've always been forgotten down in rural Utah. We always have a saying down here, we're non-existent south of Nephi, and that's not true. We have a lot of wonderful people in southern Utah. We'd like to keep them here. And this is probably the greatest opportunity that I've seen come along in my 30-something years of being involved in city politics, maybe make something work. And I think with the collaboration between the city, the county, the state, and you as the Inland Port, I think we can make things happen here in Beaver County, and I really look forward to having some good, healthy conversation to make things happen. So thank you for your time, and thank you for all the work you do. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Commissioner. Thank you, Mayor. Our history as a county is one of resilience. We have survived centuries of boom and bust economics, both of prosperity and turmoil. We have seen the rise of mining, agriculture, and rail. We've also seen their decline, and yet here we are, standing in front of your board today with a proposal at hand, a proposal that we know will be a blessing in the lives of our residents, a proposal that bets on the good established here and invests in the infrastructure we have already built. We want to continue to invest in agriculture as our heritage is grounded in it. We want to expand out to include and recruit ag tech-based industries. Additionally, mining has been a long-held tradition in our county. Our continued interest in the resources beneath our feet can be paired with advanced manufacturing and aerospace technology fields. Having 5 renewable energy sources already established in our county for the last several decades, we hope to continue to be a leader in innovation within renewable energy. All of this is not without acknowledging that research and development, as well as warehousing and distribution, will be necessary complements in each of these fields. As this plan has been prepared, thoughtful consideration has been given to industry, growth, and anticipated developments. It honors our heritage and speaks to our logistical strengths. Each zone utilizes the individual community strengths to work independently, but contribute to and function as a larger part of the project as a whole. In short, Beaver County is uniquely situated to continue supporting the existing economy and allow for the agility to expand into emerging and diverse industries. Thank you.
Mayor, Commissioner Jan, thank you so much for helping us understand the local perspective and the need and the desire to have this project area here in Beaver County. What I'd like to do is summarize how the local strategy, the local desires and plans align with our statute for the Inland Port Strategy under 1158-203 policies and objectives as they align with local goals. The statute lists 20 policies and objectives of the authority, which includes items such as maximizing long-term economic benefits to the area, the region, and state, facilitating transportation of goods, increasing trade and global commerce in the region, and maximizing the creation of high-quality jobs in the Beaver County community. The Mineral Mountains project area accomplishes 17 items from the list of policies and objectives of the Utah Inland Port Authority, and the business development team likes the alphabet a lot. So these items include A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, Q, and R. You can see that the community and the authority are very well aligned in the goals of this project area. With this, Madam Chair, members of the board, staff of the Utah Inland Port Authority formally requests now your consideration in passing the resolution for creating the Mineral Mountains Inland Port as a Utah Inland Port project area. We'll take any final question at this point.
Danny, thank you. Appreciate it. The one thing that I have to say is in response to the mayor's comment about not being recognized south of Nephi, I can surely tell you this board recognizes everything south of Nephi. And it is our plan and our goal to make sure that we have these inland ports across the state, but primarily in rural Utah, because it is so essential to the economics. And I said this yesterday on the panel with Ben Hart. I've been in economic development for 20 plus years. He has too. And I don't think I've ever seen a plan and a process like what we're doing here at the Inland Port for rural economic development. So coupled with what we have on in statute with the red TIF and everything else and the incentives that you guys can bring as local communities, we can do great things. So I'm really excited about this project and the benefit that it'll bring this to this community. So super supportive. It looks like Representative Schultz, you have a comment because you just turned on your screen. So thank you.
I do, Abby, or Madam Chair, thank you. And I just, again, wanted to give a shout out to the rural commissioners and the rural local leaders that are working collaboratively with the state of Utah, with the Inland Port, to make your communities better. We, as the Madam Chair mentioned, we do recognize the need in rural Utah and really appreciate the opportunity to work together to find something that makes it better for the state as a whole. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago, as we were looking at tax reform, we traveled all across the state, And we heard from rural Utah loud and clear at that time that the economic conditions were not the same in rural Utah as they were along the Wasatch Front. And literally, we heard rural Utah begging for opportunities to come to them that would give them the opportunities for their kids and their grandkids to live in the communities and grow up and have opportunity to provide work for themselves. And so I just want you to let you know we've heard you. We're excited about the collaboration and the ability to work together with good, reasonable people, and appreciate all that you've done, and appreciate you inviting us into your community to make it, to help work together to make it better for your community and the state as a whole.
Thanks, Representative. Any, Jerry, any comment from you or Victoria or Bill?
I'll go, Abby. Last year, I got to go to the One Utah Rural Summit, and I had the pleasure of meeting the commissioner and learned about Beaver County. And I remember at that time going, wow, if there was a circumstance for which this port project was well-suited, it is Beaver County and what they're experiencing down there. And, you know, I'll repeat my mantra that I should have a vote because I want to be able to vote to make sure that this is a reality. So I'm just going to cheer instead. But I'm really excited that there'll be an element of self-determination for those people who work so hard for the constituents in Beaver County to use this powerfully to create the sort of sustainable lifestyle and quality of life for that area. So I'm just excited to see this come to fruition.
Thanks, Victoria. Senator?
Yes. I don't believe I've ever seen in the time I've been in the legislature, which has been in quite a while, I don't believe I've ever seen a direction moving or pushing toward rural Utah like we're seeing right now. I would just give all of you a little bit of a warning. Sometimes these things, it's like turning a big ship, and it, you know, the rudder. It takes a while to get this done, but our governor is dedicated to making sure that we make things happen in rural Utah. I think the legislature is more in tune with rural Utah right now than they've probably ever been, and more eager to help things change. And we seem to be getting things in finance in that direction heavily. So I cheer appropriations. And I recognize those trends over several years. So, and it's hard to say be patient because I think you've been very patient, but it won't happen overnight. But things like we're doing right here today are a big piece of this. It's going to help us consider for. So thank you for your patience and thank you for continuing to stay in rural Utah. I'm a rural guy, but I lived west of Lake, and that was used to be considered rural. Now it's a little proud of.
Thanks, Senator. Thanks for the comments, everyone. Really appreciate it. Look forward to taking a vote here in a minute. But before we do that, let's go to public comment. I've been told that there is one person in the audience, Charles Ackerlow, that would like to make comments. So if you'd step up to the podium, Charles, 2 minutes to address the board.
Well, I'm stepping up to the board, to the podium here to support the implementation of an inland port here in Beaver County, and I want to share with you a little anecdote that comes back out of my past many, many, many years ago when I was in graduate school. I worked for the University of Utah in their extension division, and we had in those days a outreach program to rural communities to help them with their planning and to help them with a number of the issues that they face. And I was a young buck with a bachelor's degree and didn't know much about what I was doing, but Dr. Keith Wilson led the pack, and we came, my first assignment was in Milford, and working with a Dr. David Simons, who at that time was involved heavily in, and my memory is fading, so I don't remember if he was on the council or not, but he was at least very active in this community and trying to plan for the future, trying to put some consensus around what was happening here. And I always thought it was a great experience for me, and it probably changed my direction in life in that I spent the rest of my life building communities, and not just subdivisions, but communities and master plans. And that's what I do, and that's what I've done. So I come back this many years later, and of course, at that time, what was missing was financing. You know, you could do a lot of planning, you could do a lot of speculating about how you could build your industrial growth, but until the legislature opened the door to public infrastructure districts and tax increment financing and so forth, there was no practical way, unless the county or the city wanted to go out on a general obligation bond. And we all know that politics in that are tough. So it thrills me, frankly, to see what's happening here in Milford. I mean, it's like, gee, as I bring my career to a close, I can be down and speak in behalf of where it started and compliment all of you, every one of you, on what you do in the Inland Port. We have a project before you, which you'll see next week and or next month, I should say, and I may have some time to talk about that then. But my encouragement to you is, by all means, there's the infrastructure is here. They need is, as you know, I think, and all of you know, you can't start something unless you've got utilities and you've got infrastructure there in order to support any kind of industrial development. And this is that link. And it's a great, great thing, Senator and others that you've done. Thank you and appreciate it.
Charles, really appreciate the comment. Thank you. That actually will conclude our public comment period. And obviously, if you have online, if you're listening and you want to make public comment, inlandportauthority.utah.gov. Moving on to the approval, Executive Director Hart talked about this on the Broadway Consultant, consulting business services. And we would like to move to extend their contract. Again, this is Alan Evans, who's been instrumental in getting the port to this point, and he's turned into a good friend of mine and a confidant in all things port related. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the amended contract, and then I'll take a second from one of you. It looks like Jerry's raising his hand, so I'll take that as the motion. And Representative Schultz, are you able to?
Yes, I'll second that motion.
Perfect. Larry, do you need to do roll call, or can we just say aye here?
That's your call. Okay. It's easy to know if anyone did not go.
That's right. I'll just say aye, and hopefully the other two will chime in.
Aye.
Or you have the motion in the second, the chiming in should be easy.
There we go. Perfect.
Sounds unanimous.
Thanks, Larry. Next thing on our agenda is the community enrichment grants. I would like to take the authority of the chair to ask the board to consider moving this to next month. I think the board needs some time to look over this. I know you've given it to us before, Ben, but I haven't had a chance to look at all the grants and all that were awarded and the process in which we went through awarding those. So I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and give the board an extra month to look over those and have discussion on those next month. So if that is okay, board members, I would use the authority of the chair to make that happen next month.
Madam Chair, that's fully in order. We plan to bring this back next month as staff and have an opportunity to prep or make the board aware. Sorry, I'm trying to shoe a fly up here as well. Make the board aware of these grants as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the Infrastructure Bank. This is what Amy talked about earlier, BP 13, Authority of Infrastructure Bank. Any comment on that? And then I'll take a motion to approve that policy that we saw last month. Looks like Jerry's making the motion.
I would make the motion, but if I may comment, Greg, we put the infrastructure bank together in the legislature a few years back, and we have some of the best financial minds in this state that review the policies, infrastructure requests that go through this bank. And it's a very safe, safe place. It's at some steps that, that cause a review to be in a, of what we do with the money that's loaned out of this bank. So, really feel comfortable with it, have worked with it since its inception. And, I would move that we approve the authority, infrastructure bank policy that we have before us.
Thanks, Senator. Representative, do we have a second from you?
I'll second, yeah, I'll second Senator Stevenson's motion.
Thank you. And, we'll take a roll call vote here. Larry.
Jerry Stevenson.
Aye.
Mike Schultz.
Yes.
Abby Osborne.
Yes. Thanks, Larry. Finally on our agenda, the reason we're here in Beaver County, or you're here in Beaver County, is the resolution 2023-09, adopting the Mineral Mountains Inland Port Authority area. Any other comments from the board before we take a motion and read that resolution out loud? Okay, seeing none, Larry, I'll let you read the resolution into the record.
Resolution 2023-09, a resolution of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board adopting the Mineral Mountains Inland Port Project Area Plan.
Thanks, Larry. If I can get a motion, Jerry, Mike, one of you, and a second from the other one of you.
Mike may have a time lapse. I would be more than happy to make that motion. We approve.
I'll second Jerry's motion.
And Larry, I think this is a big enough deal. Why don't you do a roll call vote from the three of us?
Sure. Jerry Stevenson.
Yes.
Mike Schultz.
Yes.
Abby Osborne.
Just because I love Tammy. Absolutely. Yes. All right. Any other that actually concludes our business? We were efficient and fast today, and you put it in the record. We were 1 hour and 23 minutes, Ben. But any other comments from the boards before we adjourn our meeting and move to the panel discussion about the area? Yes, Jerry.
I have one comment. You're anyone who has run a meeting in an hour and 20 minutes, the next time we look for a chair, I'm afraid you're going to get it.
Okay. If I'm nothing but efficient, I'll take it. There you go. All right.
Chair, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Perfect. Thank you. That's where I was going to next. It's non-debatable. Oh, Ben, you have something.
Really quick. I did want to recognize we also have Senator Vickers at the back and also Representative Ulrich in the room as well with us. Just thanking them for being here as well, in addition to all of the other elected officials. We're going to go right into the panel following this, but two great stalwarts here in rural Utah. And in addition to all the other leaders that are here, we just wanted to recognize them as well.
I knew I should have said we always hear from Carl Albrecht on Don't Forget Rural Utah. I just didn't know he was in the room. So I should have said it. But thanks, Ben, and look forward to the panel here in a few minutes. And hopefully those in the media that will join the members of the board and legislators about the project area. So that will conclude our board meeting. I think our next board meeting is November 5th. But until then, let's keep building ports.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks.